Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Hello, and welcome to Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Before we begin, please hit the like button. If you like the video, subscribe to my channel if you want to see more from me. And if you really want to support our community, you can join Patreon. We have a big goal there, and I will talk about that at the end of the video. This is a true crime channel, and I figure if you're here, you're not worried about being triggered. I'm not big on making other people responsible for my triggers, but we are going to be talking about suicide today. We talk about that often, and if things like that are of issue to you, I would recommend staying away from true crime content altogether. But with that said, I am giving a warning. Oh, how I never tire of bringing you the stories of these wackadoo self-proclaimed gurus, because frankly, I love to laugh at how ridiculous they are. I love to out them as the predators and the con men and the shysters that they truly are. And I love to bring awareness to alert people when they spot the telltale red flags. And boy, do I have a story for you today. A few weeks ago, I brought you the story of Teal Swan, a woman with a following of millions and an empire she has built on social media, telling people that she was the victim of terrible abuse, who now claims she can help others overcome theirs. The problem is, her stories are pretty much all lies. But while I was researching that story, I talked with more than a few people who had been affected by Teal Swan. And as I discussed these types of people with them, we began to discuss the man who is the subject of our story today. He is blonde, he is young, he is full of himself, and he is full of shit. This is the story of the social media sex guru, Bentino Massaro. I'm Stacey Lee, your host. Let's get into it. December 9th, 2017. A group of people have gathered in Sedona, Arizona for a spiritual retreat. The people involved were chasing enlightenment, a better life, and personal peace, peace that none of them could ever seem to find. Among them is this man, Brent Wilkins. Brent was a handsome guy from a well-off neighborhood near Richmond, Virginia. His friends called him Hot Brent. He was 6'4", tan, and ripped. He ate candy all day long and lived on 7-Eleven hot dogs and never gained a pound. Those kind of people, yeah. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. I'm so happy for you. Girls flocked around Brent all the time, especially at parties, but he was shy and he sometimes stumbled on his words. Brent shined, however, on the tennis court. As a college student at Virginia Tech, he had enormous athletic ability, but lacked the killer instinct needed to take him the next step into the pros. Brent graduated with a business degree and he moved to Washington, D.C., where he got a tennis coaching job at one of the area's most exclusive country clubs. He had everything in life that anyone could want, and he was completely unhappy. He was never at peace. Brent was always searching for the meaning of life. He swung from one doctrine to the next, and each time he found a new leader, a new way of thinking, he dove in headfirst, immersing himself into whatever philosophy his current master was teaching. He was all in, and then when he didn't find what he was looking for, he was out. With each experiment, he became more and more discouraged. He'd been Christian throughout high school and college. He'd even quit drinking. He went to church. But still, he had no peace. He turned to Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra, trying to follow what they teach, living in the moment. But even that didn't work. Brent's friends would often see him sitting in a neighborhood park with his head down. He was not well, and he was not happy. And then Brent found Bentino Massaro. Brent threw himself into Bentino's teachings immediately. He followed him for years, and before he knew it, he was in Sedona, Arizona at a retreat. As the days at the retreat wore on and the meditation sessions continued, the long speeches by Bentino were given, Brent began to feel more and more empty inside, and then he realized there was one core teaching that Bentino taught that applied to him more than any other. If you are not going to wake up every day to something important, to do something important, you should kill yourself. You know what I find important? Breathing. Breathing's important to me. That's an important enough thing for me to accomplish in a day. Breathing. Pretty important. Up there on the top of the list for me. So every day is worth living because you're doing something important. Breathing. It was the sixth day of the retreat and Brent Wilkins was experiencing the all too familiar anxiety he had always lived with. That terrible feeling those of us who suffer with anxiety gets that starts either in your throat or your chest or your lower back and begins to spread through your body, kind of suffocating your rational thoughts and taking control over your entire being. Brent got into his car and he drove north on the dirt roads of Sedona. He parked near Midgley Bridge, ignoring the no parking signs, and he stepped out on this cliff. Brent had given up everything he'd owned to chase enlightenment with this guru, and he hadn't found it. He'd cut ties with his family, as he'd been instructed to do by Bentino, because the family members were not seeking enlightenment. He'd given up on his goals, and he'd spent his money on these retreats. He still could not find peace. He had searched in Christianity. He had searched in all kinds of New Age schools of thought, and he was still miserable. Brent stepped to the edge of the cliff, looking down on the trees below, and he jumped. His body landed 200 feet below on the smooth stones warmed by the December sun. 1988 or 1989. Bentino Massaro was born in a middle-class neighborhood in Amsterdam. He speaks with a slight Dutch accent. He claims there were times in his childhood when his family struggled and he went hungry. But even as a very young child, Bentino believed he was special. I am a broken record on these episodes. These guys are always very, very special, my friends. Bentino believed he was blessed, but at the same time burdened with a message he had to share with the world. He claims to have a very high IQ and that his brilliance made him an outcast in school. He says he was the weird kid, and even though he was the smart kid, he did poorly in school because the subjects bored him. He claims he was more interested in telekinesis and physics as a kid than in math and English. It should come as no shock to any of us that just like in the story of Teal Swan, Bentino's parents were very, very into self-help groups, meditation, and spirituality, New Age stuff, philosophy. Bentino's parents believed they could train their minds to move objects. They believed they were capable of viewing what was happening in real time in far-off locations. I think they call that distant viewing, or what do they call that? There was a CIA experiment on it. Remote viewing. And that they were especially connected to a higher being. So like in the case of Teal Swan, his parents exposed Bentino to this type of thinking and even enrolled him in a children's course, which he aced, apparently. Bentino began reading Deepak Chopra and yogic philosophy mixed with ancient scriptures and writings popular in the New Age culture. He became kind of obsessed by the book The Law of One, which is supposed to be a series of books written by an AI named Ra. He began to strongly believe in New Age teachings, that the universe is one substance and that we are all a part of it, particular of it. He studied the Jewish Kabbalah and Christian mysticism and watched The Matrix over and over. At age 18, Bentino and his girlfriend went to the birthplace of yoga, where the Beatles wrote the White Album, and Bentino and his girlfriend lived there for 6 months, practicing yoga and meditation. This is where Bentino Massara decides that he must become enlightened, like the Buddha. Not long after this, Bentino began posting videos here on YouTube, telling his viewers that it was his life's work and his responsibility to distill very difficult concepts into words us mere mortals can understand. Even us skeptics with the teeny tiny brains that are godless heathens, even we can understand them. And Bentino is going to be the one to bring us that message. Now, like Teal Swan, Bentino definitely has a gift for communicating with people. Never ever forget what I said in that episode, my friends. The greatest con artists of all time base most of their lies, if not all of them, on some semblance of the truth. It's what makes them great. It's what makes them believable. When Bentino Massara was a boy, his parents gifted him with a kitten. The cat would hide under the furniture, and so Bentino tied it to a leash and began showing the kitten around to make it feel safe in its new environment. He wanted to show the little creature that he could be trusted. And then, as Bentino tells the story, one day in the backyard of their home, he felt an evil force take over his body. He grabbed the leash and pulled tightly on it and then began to swing the kitten in the air before letting go of the leash and flinging the kitten into a prickly bush. He grabbed the leash and repeated this over and over. He claims that he wanted to stop, but the spirits that had possessed his body would not let him. The kitten was severely injured, but it did live, and Bentino claims he is still angry at the spirits for what they made him do. You know what? I'm just going to say it. I have people on my TikTok comment all the time when I post about evil people, and they say things like demons and she's possessed. And it's all that I can do not to respond. But I don't, because I'm a grown, mature woman and I can control myself, barely at times. But my friends, we do not blame imaginary things for bad behavior. We do not blame what others do, what others wear, what others say or think, what they might or might not be drinking for bad behavior that we inflict on them. We do not blame anyone for harm, but the person who causes the harm. It is not a demon. It is not some invisible force. It is their responsibility and theirs only. So this story is just a pile of crap to me. By 2011, Bentino was speaking at conventions like the Science and Non-Duality Conference, which features speakers like Adyashanti and Deepak Chopra. He's got at least a little more credibility than Teal Swan, I guess, because people also follow those other two, but as a skeptic, it doesn't mean much to me. As Bentino's popularity grew, he decided that he had superseded his teachers. I just need to read my script from the LeBarons, the Lafferty brothers, all of the cults that we've already covered, because this always happens. These men, and they're most of the time men, start out following men that they then feel they have outgrown. Bentino states, I had attained greater clarity and purity of mind than most of these other teachers. Now it was like, well, wait a second. It's up to me. It was really powerful to realize that if I want to change the world, I want to upgrade spirituality, I'm the one who has to do that. The self-aggrandizement is something that is omnipresent in these cult stories. It's just, it flows through every facet of these stories. These guys are so self-important and so arrogant. Bentino claims that he then began to clash with these other spiritual leaders because he was closer to enlightenment than they were. He was more aware and more tuned in. I guess when you get more enlightened, you become like a bigger asshole. That's part of enlightenment. That sounds about right. You know, you try to outdo other people, you get more competitive. You know, I think that's what enlightenment's all about, right? We literally could go back in time and match all of this up almost verbatim with the Kirtland murders, the LeBaron murders, the Lafferty murders. It's literally all the same thing. Till Swan, David Koresh, they're all the same. These people look for spiritual fulfillment elsewhere because they cannot find it. But then they decide they're so special that they need to start their own thing. And as soon as they start their own thing, they make everyone else mad because they're saying they're the best leader. And then those leaders get mad. It's just such a cluster. Yeah, yeah. You can go from point A to point B to point C to point D with each and every one of these stories, religions, cults, whatever, and they're all the same. Bentino claims he stopped getting invitations to these conferences and that he was blackballed by the New Age community, but then he found his place here on YouTube. In 2016, Bentino moved to Boulder, Colorado, which, if you don't know, for whatever reason has become like a bastion for New Age thought. There's a whole lot of New Age psychic reprogrammers, past life experts, and with them a whole bunch of like conspiracy theorists, anti-vax people, science deniers, climate change deniers. Boulder has become a very weird place. Now, Bentino is about 34 or 35 at this point in time. He won't actually say. That's why earlier I said 1988 or 89. He's a lot younger than some of these other gurus, and he knows the power of marketing. So he gathers around him a slick marketing group and puts together a very modern looking website. He hires a very professional video production team, and then he launched Bentino Massaro TV, which is a subscription-based library of his teachings. Those that subscribe and pay to subscribe are also strongly encouraged to attend Bentino's 9-day retreats, which cost about $5,000 a pop. Remember when the Buddha said how you have to pay $5,000 for enlightenment? Yeah, I don't either. In 2017, Bentino moves his group from Boulder to Sedona, Arizona, which again, if you're unfamiliar with that place, is, in my opinion, the hub of New Age beliefs. People from my area spend a lot of time in Sedona. It's undeniably a very gorgeous place, and it does have really good energy. You know, when you go to a city or a place that just has like a good vibe, the vibes are definitely good in Sedona, and I can totally understand why people are drawn to that area. If there is anything that I believe in, it's more Native American thinking, and they have a lot of connection to that area as well. Bentino creates the Sedona Creative Life Center, and he starts putting out talks and live streams from that location. He began hosting retreats in very expensive resorts, and he became so popular that he claims he had to hire bodyguards to walk around in Sedona. Then Bentino puts out a new rule. If you see him anywhere while at the retreat or anywhere in town and he's wearing sunglasses, you are not to approach him. See how quickly these people put up walls? They claim they want to help, but only on their terms. I don't remember Mother Teresa telling people not to approach her at certain times. I don't remember her walking around with like Ray-Bans on and telling people not to talk to her, you know, but what do I know? I am a godless heathen. Now, with his newfound fame, Bentino began posting some very... He's a douche lord. He is a douche canoe. He's posting photos of him like chomping a great big cigar and like drinking top shelf whiskey. By the end of 2017, his bookkeepers claim he was making $120,000 a month. And then he publicly declared, I don't want to have children because I already have 7 billion of them. The people of the world are my children. This little twig elf looking motherfucker is not my daddy. I have a dad, thank you very much. And if there's one thing I don't need, it's some child telling me they're my dad. Like, the gall, the arrogance is just disgusting to me. Bentinho tells his followers that he has the power to levitate, to defy gravity, to teleport, and he can literally move mountains. I cannot. He says he is an upper density spirit who has descended to the earth to help upgrade our civilization. How's that going, Bentinho? How's that working out for you? I think things are just about as bad as they've ever been. These people kill me. In the fall of 2017, Bentinho started what he called the Sedona Experiment 2. The first Sedona experiment involved about a dozen people, and he wanted this one to be much bigger, like 100 people. He marketed the event on his shiny new website, SedonaExperiment.com, where he told people that they could pay to come and achieve, quote, a sense of identity from being human to being not human, and eventually arriving at a place called infinite consciousness. I don't like this guy. Well, Sedona wasn't about it at all. Sedona's a small town of about 10,000 people. Visitors support the city, and they go to Sedona for peace and quiet. Sedona didn't want some wannabe guru bringing in floods of people. It had already been hit financially when a guru named James A. Ray held a sweat lodge ceremony there that resulted in 3 people dying. The town did not want a repeat of that mess. The town council and the police began to look into Bentinho, and they didn't like what they found. He would frequently counsel his followers to live on nothing more than grape juice for weeks at a time. He told his followers to cut off friends and family members that got in the way of their enlightenment, and he also counseled his followers to look forward to their own deaths. He says death should be something to anticipate with joy, and that looking forward to death makes you truly come alive. And then, just like Teal Swan, he encourages his followers to kill themselves. It is just about as sick as it gets. Bentinho states on video, wake up to something important, otherwise kill yourself. Make that agreement every day. You either kill yourself or you dedicate yourself to something important. That is just the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Important according to who? If I sit in my chair and watch horror movies all day, that's important to me. You see these idiots, they get on social media and they talk about, my wife and I are up at 4 a.m. We have coffee at 4:05. By 4:10, we're on the treadmill. 4:45, we're doing this. 4:50, we've taken our electrolytes. By 5 a.m., we're on a walk with the dog. It's like, shut the hell up. Like, good for you, good for you. But what you're doing is not more important than somebody else that is struggling with a health crisis that makes it through the day. It's not more important than somebody that's raising children in their home and does nothing but make peanut butter sandwiches and clean up messes all day. It's not more important than somebody that went on a hike and saw a beautiful flower. You know what I mean? Like, I'll calm down. Okay. For those of you that have been here a long time, remember when I was like really chill and I would like sit here really like meekly and just tell the story by facts? Do you miss that? Do you miss that, girl? I can't say that I do. I was just so nervous. I didn't know how to act. And now you're just kind of getting the more real me. And yeah, I got big opinions. I'm sorry. So Bentinho is feeding people that are unhappy and looking for something in their life full of crap. He also tells his followers, you can't die unless you want to. Like, what does that even mean? You know, I'm sure if you cornered him, he'd say, you know, he's speaking metaphysically. But words matter. When you're dealing with people that might be fragile, like with Teal Swan and this idiot, you need to be careful of the words you use. You need to be careful with people's hearts and with their minds. And Bentinho Massaro is not careful. December 10th, 2017. Police arrive at Bentino Massaro's luxury home in Sedona and knock on the door. It's just after 8 a.m. when Bentino comes to the door. It's obvious that the police have woken him. Detective Chris Stevens of the Sedona Police said, "Sorry to wake you up, Ben. Something came up and we want to talk to you about it immediately." Bentino immediately assumed the police were there to speak with him about an article just published by Medium, calling Bentino Steve Jobs meets Jim Jones and warning of cult 2.0. That was the Medium article, but that is not why the police were there. Without prompting, Bentino began saying all the claims against him are false and that the negativity and the publicity is hurting him. And the detective then told him, "Yeah, we do have some concerns, but that's not why we're here." Bentino didn't know that the police had been studying him. Two detectives had been assigned to look into his digital enlightenment empire. Bentino has about 50,000 Instagram followers. That's not a ton, but what's weird about it is he only made two posts in 2022, one at the beginning of the year and then one towards November, and he hasn't posted since then. 50,000 followers isn't a huge following, and that's kind of where he got started. So I don't know if he's pulled back or maybe he has another account with a different name that I don't know about, but on Facebook, he's got almost 1 million followers, and then on YouTube, he's got 106,000 subs. So you combine all of those, he's got a big following, and the cops kind of dove in to all of that. Bentino's following wasn't quite as big back in 2017, but they still had plenty to look at. The cops started sifting through the mass amounts of generic motivational quotes and cheesy riddles, you know, "you are if you think you are," that type of stuff. And they watched his hundreds of YouTube videos, the ones on his main channel. And then he has like a side channel where he makes even more outlandish claims. The cops found a 51-second clip where Bentino says, "Wake up to something important, otherwise kill yourself." So while they're at his home, the cops started to ask Bentino about some of the more wild claims he's made and the statements that he's recorded. And of course, Bentino went into the usual song and dance. His statements are being taken out of context. He uses shock and awe type of statements to get attention. All the usual crap these people say when they're called out. Then Detective Stevens says, "Tell me about Brent." Bentino looked a bit confused and said, "What do you mean? Would you like Brent's cell phone number? You can talk to him directly." He didn't know that Brent was dead. At this point in time, one of Bentino's girlfriends joined everyone on the couch, and the cops asked, "Has Brent ever talked to you about suicide?" Bentino said, "No, I don't think so." Then the detective said, "I want to go back to your words. Wake up and do something important. Otherwise, just kill yourself." And Bentino said, "Right." And then the cop said, "Well, yesterday, Brent did kill himself." Bentino didn't speak, and then he just said, "No." Very quickly, he started backpedaling and said, "It's just an expression. I've never suggested anyone do it." And the cop replied, "When someone is following you and you say something like that, you don't think they're going to listen?" And Bentino replied, "Fair enough." The police got up to leave as Bentino sat with his hand over his heart as if he was praying or thinking. I would like to show you the videos associated with these statements, but every time I find an article with a YouTube click, this is what I see when I click on it. I don't know if some of these statements have been pulled down. I'm not really sure what's going on, but they are not available. Now, apparently, Brent's parents had begged him not to go to the retreat. They had noticed a drastic change in their son since he'd begun following Bentino Massaro, but they could not talk him out of attending this. Brent quit his lucrative coaching job. He'd stopped going out with his friends. He had cut off all ties with his family, as he was instructed to do by Bentino, and now the poor guy is dead. Now, I know you guys, I know you don't miss anything, so I'm sure you caught that part a moment ago where I said one of Bentino's girlfriends joined him on the couch. You caught it, I know you did. Yeah, you see, Bentino preaches polyamory, and he preaches lots and lots of sex with lots of different people, because of course he does. There is a Rolling Stone article from April of last year titled, "The Instagram Guru His Female Followers to Freedom." Bentino now has a podcast where he deconstructs the boundaries of traditional monogamy and promotes polyamory, because of course he does. Here's my problem with polyamory. It's the same problem I have with vegans and CrossFit people. Let me live my life. Let me do what I want. I feel the same way about Christians who talk about the sanctity of marriage and then they've been married three times. Let me live my life. Don't talk to me about the fact that I need to change my diet. Don't talk to me about the fact that you don't believe monogamy exists, because it does. Don't talk to me about the fact that CrossFit is the only way to exercise. It's just, there's so many variations of cults nowadays. One time my doctor said to me, we suffer from a high fact diet, not high fat, high fact diet. We have too much information coming into us at all times. And there's too many people that are out there saying my way is the only way. Let me live my life. No one knows what's best for me more than I know what's best for me. And the same for everyone else. That's what makes me sad about this, is I see people that don't have the confidence. You know, maybe they grew up in an abusive environment or being told that they're less than, and they don't have the ability to trust their own self-confidence and their self-worth. And so they go looking for people like this, and these people hurt them. And that's what makes me mad, because these are people that don't have the ability to say, I know what's best for me. And so they're reaching out and then they get hurt more. That's why I'm obsessed with cults and angry about them. As if Benito is not already like the biggest tool on the planet, he starts dressing in high-end suits, eating at very expensive restaurants. He's driving exotic cars. He's on a yacht smoking a cigar. And no matter where he goes, he's got a couple of very young girls with him. He's flying all over the country in private jets filled with young women who will do anything for clout and money. It boggles my mind that these gorgeous young girls cannot see their own worth, the fact that they've got the whole world in front of them and they're attracted to this. Like, get your money, get your money, but don't lose your self-worth in the process, you know? I don't care what people do for money. It's none of my business, but I don't like to see people getting damaged in the process. Benito has one video that really rubbed me the wrong way. He's talking about how monogamy is a social construct, but polyamory isn't. That's really funny to me, Benito, because gorillas get jealous. Horses get jealous. Birds especially get jealous. And maybe I'm missing out on something, but that seems instinctual to me. It seems instinctual, animalistically instinctual, to have jealousy when you see your partner with somebody else. That's not a social construct. But I'm not enlightened. What the hell do I know? Now, one of Benito's girlfriends, her name is Jade Electra. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Jade is introduced to Benito when she started following one of his girlfriends, Corey Katuna, on Instagram. So the two girls start talking over DM, and then they meet for a Reiki session, because where else do you meet people these days? Only in a Reiki session. And then Corey invited Jade Electra to go on one of Bentino's retreats. Corey told her that if she wanted to go, she had to sign an NDA. And if she broke the NDA, that's a non-disclosure agreement, meaning you can't talk about anything that happens, Bentino could sue her for $300,000. The Buddha, he had people sign NDAs, for sure. Mother Teresa, 100%. Fred Rogers, all the way. Nothing says there's nothing bad going on here, like someone who wants you to sign an NDA, right? I mean, NDAs do have their place, but anyway. So Jade Electra agrees to go, even though they wouldn't tell her where the retreat was taking place. Sounds like a great idea. But from the very beginning, there were all kinds of red flags for Jade Electra and for others. Bentino would gather the group and make wild claims about his own abilities. I've already told you that he claims to be able to move objects with his mind, to literally be able to move mountains. And in some of these sessions, he told Jade Electra and others that he could control the weather. And then he made, I think what a lot of people would consider to be a very blasphemous claim. He said he was more spiritually evolved than Jesus. Ooh. Maybe Bentino's next retreat should be in Alabama. That was mean. Okay, they wouldn't, it wouldn't go well. It's about this same time that Bentino starts posing these super cheesy videos of him like showing off his telekinetic abilities by moving a piece of tinfoil without touching it. Remember when you were a kid in third grade and you did that? You learned how to like blow on the tinfoil without making the blowing really noticeable. I guess Bentino didn't go to third grade. I don't know. Then he begins encouraging his followers to participate in what he calls distortion readings. The word distortions come up a lot lately with Jody Hildebrandt. I mean, these people, I need to meditate here for a minute. This is basically where everyone sits around in a group and talks crap about other people, pointing out what they see as their flaws. Sounds fun, right? That's exactly what I want to pay money for. A bunch of people to tell me what they don't like about me. Hell, I'm doing that here for free. But in one of these sessions, a member shared a very traumatic experience where he had been sexually abused. Electra said it turned Bentino on. And after the session, he had Jade Electra go to his bedroom with him and reenact the memory that this member had shared. This guy is sick and just a plain nut job. And if that wasn't bad enough, Bentino then told the person who had shared the trauma that he and Jade Electra had reenacted the scenario. I honestly don't know if I can think of many things that are more overtly disgusting than that. You know what I mean? In 2017, Bentino is on tape saying, F your relationships, all of them, to your parents, to your family, to your friends, to the people around you. They mean nothing. Don't ever give a F about your family, about your children, about your parents. Don't give a F about your partner. Bentino's followers defend him by saying he's trying to rid them of the need for attachment. Like in Buddhism, you're not supposed to be attached to things. But no, that's very twisted. Ridding yourself of attachment is not saying I don't give a F about them. That is such a twisted and sick way of looking at non-attachment. Benito tells his followers that cutting all ties and not caring about anyone is a feeling of freedom. I mean, yeah, if you don't care about anything, you're completely free and you're also a psychopath. We are talking about vulnerable people who are looking for something in their lives that they feel is missing. And they're going to this guy and he's just teaching them all of this bullshit. Life is hard enough without all of this. So Jade Electra spends some time with Bentino, but then she and a former girlfriend of his named Jacqueline Graham left him. And they went on this podcast called A Little Bit Culty, which was started by a former NXIVM member, Sarah Edmondson. If you don't know what NXIVM is, first off, you're lucky. I'll cover that if you want me to. It's wild. But the girls go on this podcast and they play a video where Bentino addresses his group being called a cult. He says on video, "We are a cult. We are a curious, understanding, loving tribe." But anyway, apparently he's lost some girlfriends. I'm sure he's gained plenty more. Diane Benscotter, who is a former Mooney and founder of an anti-cult organization, has stated that Bentino's expanding influence is very concerning. She states that his teachings have a real appeal for people who feel lost, who feel like they're missing something, who are looking for love and looking for acceptance and longing for friends and community. They're going to be really susceptible to this, and the cost could be years of their lives, or perhaps even worse. This is a dangerous man. He's got people giving him thousands and thousands of dollars to go and stay in the desert and live on grape juice while he tells them that if their lives don't involve doing something important every day, whatever that means, they should kill themselves. Now, I've said this before, why should we care? Let people believe what they want and do what they want. I agree with that. I think everyone should be able to live their lives however they choose, so long as they don't hurt anyone else. But these gurus do hurt other people, and that's why I care. I talk about this in our episode with Teal Swan. I don't think we should shut these gurus down or take away their right to peddle their garbage. I make these episodes so people are more aware. I make these episodes so that, like with our true crime cases, more people learn how to spot red flags and dangerous behavior. Not everyone has the ability to see those things, and it's my hope that when I put this information out there, it helps someone. We talk about how to avoid becoming the victim of a crime, and I think it's just as important to talk about how to avoid becoming the victim of a cult. This is what Bentino Massaro's website looks like. He's really gone out of his way to put disclaimers here now, things like only do what resonates with you, which is just a cover your ass statement. He's saying, you know, just because it rings true with someone else doesn't mean it will work for you. But as it stands right now, you can still sign up to go and attend a retreat with Bentino and his crew. Originally $4,500, you can sign up now for just $400 and spend time with the Guru Gang at the next getaway. There is no moral to this story. There is no crime to be solved or to go to trial, and there is no ending to wrap up in a bow. This is just another cult story, another warning, and another reminder of something we are all painfully aware of. It doesn't matter how friendly or beautiful or positive someone is. If they require your money, your devotion, your secrets, or for you to ignore your own boundaries in order for you to be their friend, or give you the help they claim to be capable of giving, run as far and as fast as you can, because sooner than later, the sheep's costume is going to come off. And the next thing you know, you're alone with a wolf. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and if you really want to help, join my Patreon. If you want to give a couple bucks a month, that's fine with me. It keeps the episodes coming, and in the end, we are going to raise money to donate to police departments that have cold case DNA in storage that cannot be tested because there's no money to test it. We want to help with that. We want to get those cases solved, and we want that perpetrator's DNA in the system. Thank you so much for being here, my friends. Stay safe and be kind to each other, and I will see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.